Welcome to Coffee with Craft.
Welcome back to the Coffee with Craft podcast. I'm your host, Craft, and today I'm joined with a friend. He's like a brother to me. His name is Travis Hessen. Travis, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking cider. Is that allowed?
That is very much allowed because I'm drinking Pepsi, and so, you know, it doesn't
have ruined this podcast.
The podcast is ruined because neither of us are drinking coffee. You know, I don't think I've actually ever sat down and drank coffee with a guest on this show.
It's a huge misnomer.
I think the name is super misleading because all Coffee with Craft is short, in-depth conversations with friends like you would have over coffee. Or in our instance, over beer, because that's where most of our conversations happen, at the brewery. Me and Travis frequent a place called Star City where we play trivia and other games and sometimes just have a good time. And so, just fun little side note there, but I know Travis super well because I've known you. How long has it been now? It's been a long time.
At least 11 years.
Yeah, so, like...
At least.
It's been... We went to church together, went to college, been through quite a few life events together, and so I know you super well. But of course, there are people... I have listeners in Australia. Did you know that?
No.
I have...
Somebody puts up with you from another country.
I know, right? I have a listener from Australia, and so... You know, there's people all over the world who listen to Coffee with Craft. So I was curious if, you know, you could just kind of give us your origin story a little bit. Tell us who Travis Hessen is for the people sitting with us today who might not know you.
Sure, yeah. So the legend goes... my name's Travis Hessen. I'm 27 years old. I've been married for, I should probably get this right, 5 years now, a little over 5 years. My wife, Andrea, and I have a daughter on the way. Her due date is November 4th. We're hoping she waits that long. I graduated from Miamisburg, went to Cincinnati Christian University for a Bible degree. I'm actually a technology professional. I run a technology help desk at the Air Force Base here. Hobbies include... drinking margaritas by the seaside.
You're like writing your dating profile right now. Long walks on the beach, margaritas.
Yeah. Just in case my wife ever gets tired of me, which will be sooner rather than later. One of my favorite hobbies, and my wife shares that hobby with me, is we love the Renaissance Festival. That's what we do in the fall, and that's also how we spend our family trips together. We travel around the country and visit different Renaissance fairs. And that's our free time together. And then if my wife's at work, she's a nurse, I play the video games and shoots the noobs on the Call of Duties. that's me.
That's you in a nutshell?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I didn't know how big of a deal Renaissance fairs were until like you became super into them.
Yeah.
What felt like all of the sudden.
Well, okay. See, that's not fair. So, I found my mug. I have a mug from the Ohio Renaissance Festival from 1996.
Oh wow!
So
I was
I was four ish. Yeah, I was four. Yeah, my birthday is May, so I was four. So I've apparently been going on and off for 23 years.
Wow!
And when Andrea and I got married, I was like, hey. This is something that I love to do. We should go check it out. And she's like, weird people go there. And I said, well, you're married to a weird person, so like,
that's
we should
her fault.
Go. Right. Yeah, she chose that, or she at least said yes. And so I said, yeah, let's go to the Renaissance Festival. And we went once, and she was kind of like into it and said, yeah, this is neat. I like the shows. I like to see the stuff. And then I said, okay, so later that season, I said, well, we don't have anything to do today. It was a Saturday or Sunday or whatever. I said, let's go to the Ren Fair again. So we went again. She says, I'm really, like, into this, but I think I want to look pretty, and I want to get a dress, and I want to be into it. She said, I think if we come back next year, we're going to be into it. And I said, okay, like, fine with me. And then the year after that, we were hanging out with some friends, and they're like, hey, do you want to go to the number one Renaissance Festival in the country? And we said, yeah, sure. It's in Chicago. So we went with them. And we just bought all in, like, at that moment, so...
Yeah, like, you guys deck out in, like, full-on garb.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, you're pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like, you spend, like, nice money on new stuff for the Ren Fair every year.
Yeah, go big or go home.
So that's so, like, that's your life motto, though. Yeah. So you're into the Ren Faire. Yeah. This isn't our first podcast recording together either. Yeah. By the way, for those of you,
a successful one,
one that is no longer around, on indefinite hiatus, as I like to say, it could come back. It would probably take me.
The podcast will make guest appearances.
It'll probably take me moving back to Dayton to actually make that podcast come back. But we had another podcast called Let's Make a Movie together right around the same time I started this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so early listeners of Coffee with Kraft will remember the days of you being on Let's Make a Movie with me. Or I guess us being on it together, because it was our show.
Yeah, it was just one big argument, but yeah.
It was one big argument. And we recorded two episodes of that, or three episodes, but one of the episodes was never released.
That's not my fault.
And so I haven't actually looked for it. I was thinking about that on the drive over here. I was like, I wonder if it's still on my hard drive. So after this episode, I'm going to go back and look for it, and maybe we'll have a surprise episode of Let's Make a Movie coming out here soon. Just one and done.
Better Travis would definitely appreciate that.
He would. We have another friend named Travis who we call Better Travis. But me and Travis have been friends for, like you said, like 11 years. Yeah. It's been crazy. And one thing that is for sure in both of our lives is that life hasn't always been easy. Whether it's been a job layoff or a death in the family or some kind of other thing, me and Travis, we both kind of gone through various situations that have been tough and difficult. And our faith is a huge part of our lives, but I think any person of faith who has been around the block, you know, for at least more than a year, can tell you that following Jesus is hard. But it's even more difficult when life is, like, extra difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, Travis, you and me were both, like, super aware of that. And so I just want to ask you how, because you're somebody who inspires me in this area. Because whenever life is tough for you, I see you just remaining steadfast, you remain faithful, you persevere. And I just want to have a conversation today with you of, like, man, how do you remain faithful when life is hard?
Yeah, that's hard. Question and just a hard fact of life. My life was never like overly difficult. You know, I didn't have parents that like abused me or anything like that. And so but there's different kind of difficulties, right? So
right.
My dad, my biological dad, who now I'm very close with, though, you know, left me when I was pretty much born. So I grew up without a dad, and that was hard. And then I didn't have God in my life for, I don't know, I have to do the math now, 16 years, somewhere yeah. like that, 15, 16 years. It just, church isn't a priority in my family, and it remains not a priority for others in my family. And I remember just the first time that I got to church, I was invited by my best friend's dad at the time, and he was like, check it out. If you don't like it, I don't care, but you're coming to church with us on Sunday. You don't have an option or else you're not hanging out. So I said, okay. And lots of things happened that day, and I could make the whole thing my testimony. But that day I decided I was going to pursue Jesus for a lot of reasons. And the biggest one was Jesus gave me not an out, but definitely a support system.
Mm.
And not in the way that Some people get real cheesy about it, and if this is your faith, that's cool. But some people get really cheesy about it, and they're like, oh, I lean on Jesus. Okay, yes, Jesus is my foundation. He's who I go to. God is ultimate. He's the one who makes sure that it's all set in place. But that community that's found in that faith, that of followers, that's a huge part of my support system and how I get through that. There are definite people for me that I go straight to in crisis and celebration. I kind of have somebody on speed dial for different things. I remember we were 2 weeks into our marriage, Andrea and I were, and we thought we were having a kid already. And we were pretty much single income at that time. I was working a full-time job, and it was, I want to say it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I asked Andrea what was wrong. She was just really upset and was like ignoring me all day. And she said, I think we're having a baby. And my reaction was more than embarrassing to like what that was, and I was like, okay, you know, and she goes, you know, we got to make sure. So I'm driving on the road to the store, and I call out to my mentor, Chris Cox, who I know we share a relationship with him in our life, and I call him and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. He goes, there's a kid in your life, God put it there. And he's like, you're going to have a support system, but you're raising a kid. I'm like, oh, you know, I wanted there to be an easy answer to that situation.
And that wasn't an easy answer.
Yeah, and honestly, like, timing is everything, and God did not put that in that time of our life in reality, which was great. But I had...
Well, it's still scary, two weeks into marriage.
Yeah, two weeks into marriage, like, oh, I guess we're, you know, making a lot of big changes this year. And... So yeah, it was a lot. It was crazy, and I found that over time, my 18-month-old nephew died in October of last year, and there was so many people that I could call for that. Our local church, I had close friends that were familiar with what I was going through, and I remember just like people that I knew but didn't connect with me on a daily basis when we were doing funeral services and stuff like that at the church. They were there. It didn't matter what it was. Like, they saw me hustling because I was trying to help my family out, because that was what was important to me at the time. And there's people coming to me saying, stop, you don't need to do that. That's what these people are here for. And just taking that load off my shoulders. And I think all that comes again from a foundation in Christ and God, and knowing that there is somewhere to look for help, and it's not within, it's out, and that's to God, that's to the community around us, and the people that he's put in our life and the situations that he's put us in. You're giving me a crack for looking at the scripture earlier, because Crafty's more Christian than me and has a psalm tattooed on his arm.
It's on my wrist. Okay.
Yeah, sure. So I love, like, Psalm 121, you know, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it goes on to just talk about all the situations and where you can really be shaken up and moved by the scenario that you're in, by the atmosphere that surrounds you, by the people who you spend your life around. And that means a lot. And that theme resonates throughout the Bible in a lot of ways, but like for me, it's where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, who takes the form of my friends like you, from my mentors in life, from my church community, from my wife, first and foremost. Like it comes from so many people that aren't myself.
Yeah,
and I think that's the biggest way that I get through struggle. And then, of course, you know, there's, you just, when it's scenarios that other people have been through, it's their experience.
Mm-hmm.
You build off of their experience. Nobody has an identical experience.
Right.
Right? I mean, you've experienced loss with your dad, but that looks completely different than me losing an 18-month-old nephew.
Right.
And yeah, there's just a completely different set of scenarios that we can't get the exact guidelines to, but we can definitely trust in friendships and relationships that are founded in something solid like scripture and in the belief in Christ. And that's what's worked for me in my, it's 2019, so my 10, 11 years of faith, right? I'm still a baby compared to so many other people who have dealt with it. But that's just what I've seen. Because I didn't have that foundation in Christ for 16 years or whatever it is. And it's amazing how hard things are to deal with when you don't have that. And it's literally like being in a dark room wandering and not being able to find your way. Then you flip on a light switch and you're like, wow, there's a lot of people in here that like know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it, I mean, that, I don't know, that's, that was a little bit long and drawn out, but that's.
No, that's good, man. That's really, really good stuff. I loved everything you said, especially for you. Of understanding how much your faith is built upon your community of people. We both hung out at a church called Eastside Christian Church for a while. You were there before me, and then I was there after you, and you were with a different youth pastor than I was with. But I think you probably remember this ugly tree that was painted on the wall. That
had to offend somebody who painted that.
They're not listening to this podcast, okay. I hope. and I don't think it was Hannah Martin, so I don't think we have to worry.
It was.
Was it?
That's all right.
The tree was ugly. She's way better of an artist now.
Like my sister, but it's fine.
I hated that tree. Sorry, Hannah. I didn't like it. I saw your trees at high school camp and junior high camp. They're way better now. But there was this tree, and I didn't like it because of where it was placed, but there was this awesome quote in it. It said, "Following the gospel was never meant to be done alone." And that quote always stuck with me because it's so true that, like, to follow Jesus, we have to be in community together, especially when the hard times come. You know, I was reading Peter today, 1 Peter, and there's that section in there where it says, "Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." And that's so true, but you don't just have to cast them on God alone. Like, Scripture consistently talks about this idea of having strong foundational biblical community. And so, what's it look like to build those relationships, do you think?
For me, it was, I kind of prefer the wedge kind of thing, where like I just put myself somewhere and say, "Hey, I'm here. Want to be friends?" Or, "Hey, I'm here. I heard you have this problem. I have a problem too." I remember serving at high school camp years and years ago, and it was a late night, and I don't know how many of your Coffee with Craft followers are local, but our church camp, which is Butler Springs out in Hillsboro, Ohio, I remember being there, and it was late night. All the leaders were eating the leftover circle pizza, and it was me, a couple of my mentors, like Chris, and one of my pastors, Adam Leppard, and a couple other friends and close pastors, and they sitting there, and I'm like, "Man, how do you guys have all these inside jokes? Like, I feel on the outside." And Chris was like, "I've known these guys for years. It just takes time to get to this level." But I decided in that weekend, I wanted to be a part of this crew. This crew had a support system that worked. These guys laughed together when they had a hard time. They had hard times together, and they were building each other up. And I decided I wanted to be a part of that in some way. And I kind of do that with a lot of my relationships. It's how it went with my wife. High school drama, I'd gone through a breakup with my previous girlfriend and all that stuff, and Andrea was just kind of this girl who was there and was supporting me, and I'm too stupid to realize it, and I was like, "Well, I want to spend more time with this girl because it seems like she cares. I should probably do something about that." And I was like, "Yeah, I was like, "We're going to go out on a date." And she goes, "Okay." And then that was that, and we went on a date, and then we said, we should go on more dates. And then obviously now she's my wife. But that's just how I attack a situation. Is I want to be a part of something, and I want something, so I try to go get it. We were joking about it in the beginning with like the Ren Faire stuff. Mm-hmm. You're like, "Oh, go big, go home." That's kind of your motto with things. Materialistically, a little bit, right? Anybody who knows me knows that's a fact. But same with like friendships, relationships, and stuff. I reach out because I want something that somebody else has, and I hope they want something that I have too. Mm. I see myself as a helper.
Yeah.
And so like right now, I'm working at the Renaissance Festival for free.
Right.
Because I just want to be a part of it, and I want to help. I want to help this performer. His performance brings joy to me, and I hope it brings joy to others, and I want to help him bring that joy to others. I don't want to be in the spotlight, but I definitely want to be one of the helpers that's there. So I approach him, and I'm like, "Hey, I want to help. Do I have a place?"
Right.
He goes, "Hey, man, I can't pay you." I said, "That's okay. I just want to be here."
Yeah.
And I just put myself in that situation. And I find that that's worked for me. And there's times where it doesn't, and that's okay. And relationships that are shallow like that, that don't have substance to build on, they fizzle out, and that's okay. Because the ones that have meat that have something worth having stay together. I mean, if we couldn't, if you and I couldn't go back and forth and just give each other a ton of crap, and then, and also, of course, enjoy some of the same stuff, there would be no content to, to our relationship, and it would have fizzled out.
However long years ago.
But this is something where we've been through stuff together, because one time I was like, hey man, I want you to hang out with me, and you're like, yeah, sure. And here we are, like, it, you know, 10, 11 years later. So I think that's a lot of it, is you have to go after and get what you want. And if it's not what you need, it won't stick.
Yeah. That's, man, that's so true. For life, like, you gotta be in with people. Like, community and authentic biblical community doesn't happen when we aren't in. And something that's, like, really interesting about our generation is that we're super noncommittal.
Yeah.
And I even fall into that trap personally. And, like,
maybe I'll be there.
Right. Like, instead of just saying, like, affirmatively, yes, I'll be there at this time. And, you know, I've had to work to get better at that even personally. But that doesn't breed community. In fact, it oftentimes breeds a lot of isolation. And so you have to, one, be committed to people. And then, two, I think another big part is just reach out, like you said. I can think of, like, times where I was sitting at home alone, especially back when I was going through depression and stuff. And I was like, no one loves me. My dog died. Life sucks. You know, like, sitting there just really down on me kind of stuff. And my dog didn't die. I just threw
that
in there.
My dog dies, like, full disclosure, if my dog dies, I'm going to need, like, a full support system.
I'll be there.
Okay. My dog is my life until November 4th.
I can sleep on your floor if you need me to.
Until my child gets here, my dog is, like, the next most precious thing.
That's hilarious. but, yeah, you know, like, you got to be in with people, and you got to reach out. If you don't reach out, like, you can't build a relationship, you know? Like, if I didn't call you and just say, hey, man, how's life? You know, even though you live 45 minutes away, we wouldn't still have a friendship.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And, if, you know, if it wasn't for nights like, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? Oh, well, I'm just sitting home watching TV. Want to go out, catch a game tonight? Go to Top Golf? Do you want to go do that? You know,
right.
Whatever it is, right? Yeah. The woe is me thing, I think, gets a lot of people in our generation. We're in this weird in-between where we were told to go after what we want, but also told don't, like, offend anybody. So we're afraid to be like, do you want to go do this? Do you want to hang out and do this? And it not be like what that other person likes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, hey, we're going to go to Top Golf, and if you suck, that's okay. Or we're going to go bowling, and if you suck, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I do too. You know, I just want to hang out and chill.
It's just something to do.
Yeah. So I think that's where a lot of people our age expect, like, somebody owes me something, somebody's supposed to come after me, because if I go after somebody, then I'm being, like, too aggressive, and they're not going to like me. And whereas I'm just like, hey, man, if you don't like me, peace out.
Right.
And if you do, sweet, let's be friends.
And we've labeled aggressive as, like, this bad thing, you know? But, like, even for, like,
there's
our spiritual
aggressive.
There is peaceful aggressive. Yeah. Aggressive doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yeah. But even in, like, when times are hard in our spiritual life, we have to aggressively go after God. You know? Like, we have to aggressively read scripture even when it's difficult.
I found myself soon after my nephew died last year. My wife and I went through so much last year. I lost, I don't know, like, 2-3 jobs. I stopped counting. My nephew died. We just had a hard time. We were having difficulty having a baby. There was just so much. And I remember, like, towards the end of the year, I went to the youth pastor at Myersburg Christian Church, and I was like, hey man, I've just gotta, like, take a break from serving. And it's not because I don't love Jesus. I absolutely love Jesus. I've been serving consistently for this long, like, not just at this church, but at other churches. It's like, I just need a break. My wife and I need to reconnect. And then I found myself, like, okay, I took a break, but then I found myself, like, finding reasons not to go to church.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm taking a break. I can sleep in today. And then you go a couple of weeks and you're like, oh, I haven't been to church in a couple of weeks, or I haven't seen so-and-so in a couple of weeks because I've been like so within myself. And of course, I have the Bible app on my phone, so it, you know, it dings, hey, daily reading for you. And that, even something so silly and little as that, like, has brought me back in, because it's like, oh, that's right, there's something else that's like important, it's the Bible. And that brings me back in, and it seems, it's just an app, but it's like, it's calling me back out, right?
Yeah.
So what made me think of Psalm 121, you literally called me or texted me and said, hey, do you want to do Coffee with Kraft? And I said, yeah, sure. You're like, all right, it's going to be about difficulty. Cool. I think it was 2 days later, the opening verse of Psalm 121 was the daily reading.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, if that's not timing, I don't know what is. So it's amazing how when we start to get disconnected, God finds a way to start putting us back together.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, but we have to respond to that.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, and it's even been interesting, like, I go through ebbs and flows in my faith walk where it feels like I'm disconnected from people, and I'd start disconnecting from God, because I'm in ministry, right? And so ministry, for anyone who's worked in it for 5 minutes can tell you, it's running constantly. You know, like, it's a marathon. Like, you're getting after it. And after a while, like, when you're being spiritual 24/7 for your job, it gets tongue-tied, right? Not speaking in tongues, just getting tongue-tied. It gets difficult to connect with God. And I found myself in a coffee shop on Friday and just really processing kind of all of that. And then, lo and behold, I had 3 conversations with random people in that coffee shop that, like, God was speaking to me in those conversations. And if I had chosen not to, I could have, you know, walked away. You know, I could have not engaged with it and just been shallow. Yeah. But I chose to engage with it, and I actually got to hear kind of some cool stuff God was speaking to me in that moment. So, you know, you got to engage. So
I think, to put a pretty bow on it, I think the big part of navigating difficulty is connecting.
Yeah.
And responding to that invitation to connect. And that can be with another person, that can be with God, whatever it, God's going to put what you need in that moment.
Absolutely.
You know, that, so it can be a friendship, reconnecting with your spouse. There's been so many times where Andrea and I have started to feel distant for whatever reason. Could have been random stuff like, oh, she's just worked a lot of days in a row and we haven't spent a lot of time together. And that becomes a pattern for me, because I'm like, oh, well, my wife's not home tonight, so I'm going to play video games all night. And then the night that she's home, she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just going to play video games. And then she says, but I'm home. I'm like, oh, yes, you are.
You want to go do something?
We should probably go out on a date. Yeah. We should probably grab some dinner together, right? So, yeah, it's one of those things where we can get so within ourselves that we don't pay attention to what's outside. So I would say the key that for me to getting through difficult times is accepting that invitation to connect. And sometimes that invitation to connect doesn't look just like a true invitation.
Right.
It's your wife saying, but I'm home.
That's,
you know.
Yeah.
Or it's a friend saying, I've got nothing going on tonight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's funny, man. That's good. Well, Travis, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I super appreciate it. Hey, if my listeners want to find you on social media, like Instagram, to see your awesome Ren Faire garb, where can they find it?
I am such an old man. I don't know. Hold on.
Can you, and also while we're on this topic right now, Heston has a really bad Instagram handle. Can you change it?
No. Heston105732 is my Instagram handle. I will change it maybe.
Just, you have a great Twitter name.
That Twitter name was, so my Twitter is Thessalonius, which was thought of by the great Adam Leppard. All right.
The master of nicknames.
I pale in comparison. So, yeah, Thessalonius on Twitter, Heston105732, unless changed. I think I'll take a Twitter poll to decide to change my Instagram.
Just use an Instagram story poll. It's on the app.
You all underestimate how old I am.
You are 26.
So, getting old. apparently I might change my name on Instagram. So yeah, that's how they find me. Thessalonius and Hessen 105732, unless otherwise changed to also Thessalonius on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Travis, thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, my friends, for sitting down and having another cup of coffee on the Coffee with Craft podcast. I hope you got something out of today's episode. And I love you so much. And I will see you next time.